Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the FWorld Headquarters podcast. I am your host, the FWorld icon, Sean Jazz Stevens. Happy Thursday, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, today is a very special edition, as not only is it Throwback Thursday, today is going to be a very special day because I decided that since I get more questions about this than pretty much anything that I do, I thought since it's Throwback Thursday and all, it's the beginning of the new year, I thought it made sense to give the origin of the F4L, how it began, why it began, who was involved, and then some. So today is going to be really about one subject, and that's me telling the story of how the F4L came to be, why it came to be, and, you know, hopefully any of those emails and the questions asked, you know, will be answered in this edition. Also, you know, some people have asked even the origin of the name of this show, the F4L headquarters. What is that? Where is it? Well, we're going to address that today on the show. First and foremost, I wanted to, at the beginning of this episode, I wanted to remind you guys that the F4L is not only a way of life, it is a recognized family. And I also recognize the fact that not everyone has the ability or not everyone has the qualities, nor do they observe or demonstrate the lifestyle of the F4L on a regular basis. So first and foremost, let's break down what the F4L is, what the model is, and how it began. So to tell you this story, I got to go back to the year 1996. Well, theoretically, maybe a little bit before that. You see, everyone that, you know, for a lot of people, everyone kind of knows, I've talked before about this show, that I haven't had the most exciting early part of my life. And I've came from a family that was very much non-supportive, nor were they a loving family, in the sense that a lot of people understand what a family is. A lot of the times in my youth, I was respected more outside of my home by the classmates, by my peers at the dojos or my sports teams or whatever the case may be. In those places, I was a somebody. I was created. I was kind of, you know, seen as something and someone versus, you know, how my family viewed me, I suppose you'd say. And my family really didn't view me as much of anything. They didn't really understand a lot of my creativity. They don't really have what we would know now as what the qualities are to be F4L. It lacked that. And I recognized that at a young age that I knew the people around me that I grew into this family. And we all are born into a family. And I think a lot of people have an idea of what a family is. And I also recognize the fact that some people are very fortunate and lucky that they have a supportive, loving, and nurturing family. But I think it's important to realize there's a lot of people out there who don't have that kind of a environment at home. Sometimes it's a turbulent environment, and it happens for many different reasons and many different ways. So that's something we have to take into account for. So really, one of the biggest conceptions with myself is that since I am who I am and I live the F4L way with love, caring, compassion, understanding, respect for each other's differences, for someone to have those qualities and live that way every single day and also stand up for those qualities every single day, that takes a lot of dedication and hard work and commitment, but also a lot of people think that I clearly must have been raised correctly. And the reality of it is that's not the case. That was self-taught. So let's, you know, now that we have that underway and we understand the basis of that, let's talk about the early days of the F4L and how it came to be. Because before this, here's the fun part about the F4 All. I think it's an idea, if you would, that I think a lot of people around the world have probably practiced without even knowing that they are living it or not knowing that there is a label for this. But let's kind of tell you how it began, and you know, maybe you guys can identify or not, or probably at the end you probably would want to. So we're going to go back to probably when, you know, I said it really began in 1996, which is accurate. But really the origin of the F4L would really probably take, you know, the foundation really where it began was going to be a couple of years sooner, earlier than that. When I realized when I was living with my stepfamily, which was a very toxic environment, that I was not going to fall down the path of all of these people around me. I was not going to be someone who's going to negative. I'm not going to be someone who's going to be prejudiced, racist. I wasn't going to be put someone down for how they are. I give people chances. I'm not the way these people are. And at the glance, I think a lot of people believe that they need to follow suit to who they're born into, the family that they're, you know, kind of bred into. They believe that is your family and there's nothing you can do about that. In fact, there is an old saying that says blood is thicker than water and you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. This is an old way of thinking. And at, you know, 13, I was already looking at an alternative to that saying because it bothered me. Because how could this be? How could I be associated with these other people who I have nothing in common with and I don't have any of these beliefs that they have? And they don't get me in general, who does believe in giving people a chance, who does believe in love, care, and compassion, understand and respect for each other's differences. And some people may think that that's naive, but ultimately I don't think that is naive. I think that's very much a way that I don't see why it can't be that way. Do I think that everyone has to agree and like the same things? No, but that comes into the whole respect each other's differences. We'll get into that. We'll break each thing into what it is. So let's take a piece. So in 1993, when I was around most of my friends at that time, and I looked at that very quote, you know, blood thicker than water. You can't choose your friends. You can trick your friends, but not your family. I was already looking to, you know, kind of alter that itself. Now, that's not to say that not everyone in the family doesn't have the qualities to be F4L. In fact, that's not the case. A lot of the times, other family members are considered part of the F4L. So let's kind of get into that. So people have heard the story before how I had left home at a very young age because it was a toxic environment and for my well-being, I made the conscious decision. And granted, I did get a boost because my stepfamily kind of helped, you know, make it easier for me to leave that toxic environment. Once out of that environment, I actually thrived. I was actually in a place where I was I'm going to be 15 years old at this time. And, back in those days, I was in high school my freshman year and I was on the soccer team, football for the rest of the world. And I was doing really well there. I was respected by everyone outside of the house. I had a girlfriend at the time. Things were going well. I've talked about that story. We're not going to go into detail on that because that's not really pertinent. But what is pertinent is the fact that I've always believed that I have a stronger connection to my close friends than my blood family. I have more in common with them, and I would much rather spend time and help them out and talk to them or be there for them when I would, you know, my own family could care less. So when that would start, I was now in what they called a transition period where I was in between my home and, you know, I was not in my home anymore. I was living on my own now in a, what they called a group home for young people because I wasn't emancipated yet, but I would become emancipated right after this. So I got emancipated when I was 15, 16 years old. I was emancipated. What emancipation is in this country Basically, I had to prove to the courts that I was responsible myself and that I was better at making decisions for my own self as an adult. And I made more rational decisions in my better well-being than my own people, supposedly my guardians at that time. The court agreed with that, and they decided that if I could, you know, present a proper reason showing that I could take care of myself and whatever, then, you know, they would honor that, which they did. So at 16, I was emancipated. So that meant I was already legally an adult in the eyes of the court and the law at 16 years old. Now, because of the luckiness of my age and the era, it's easy to kind of keep track of everything. So while I was in transition at 1996, I was 16 years old, and I was at a place that was kind of a holding place. It was a home for various teenagers and so forth, like myself, who was struggled with various different things. Sometimes they had emotional issues. Sometimes they had families that just kind of whatever. Now, this place was mixed of people. Some people like myself were just misunderstood. There was really nothing that was really on the surface wrong, quote, with them. They were just seen as outcasts by their families and whatnot. So what we did was we found that we were drawn to people like ourselves because we all thrived. We all wanted that, quote, what a family should be. And for lack of a better term, we didn't have those kinds of qualities. I think a lot of people, when they think of a family, they always wish they could have like Mike Brady as their father and be part of the Brady Bunch. But in reality, that doesn't exist in a real family. But I don't believe that it's far-fetched to have the qualities there, which are love, a genuine love for each other, a caring for each other, compassion, and respect, which is key. And again, not everyone's going to agree on everything, but that's where you respect each other's differences. Just because, you know, one of my, you know, F-World brothers might like, they might be able to eat tuna fish, right? I'm allergic to tuna fish, but I respect the fact that, you know, my brother can eat tuna fish, right? My F-World brother. So when I realized that I was closer to my friends and I had a better connection than our own families, we started the concept, and there were five of us originally. So the five original F4L members, basically, we kind of denounced our own blood in a way. We kind of stood on our own because, like myself, their families didn't have the qualities that what we believe the family should have, which are the things I just mentioned, which were all very important. I felt like that was something that was appropriate in any family. And at that point, we adopted each other. We became brothers and sisters. So originally there were five. And because we kind of started the whole thing and we began our own thing, we all had our, quote, F4L names. And let's, you know, break down what the F4L is. A lot of people, when they hear F4L, they believe it to be Friends for Life, which I think, you know, it can be decided that as friendship is the key ingredient. But let me break it down to you like this, because it's a little bit more complicated than that. So your friends, who are your, you know, your people who are your now your relatives, your real true friends, those who fit the quality of a friend. And a couple of days ago, I had given you guys a quote, which is kind of how you base who your friends are. Real friends, they'll kick you when you're down, they help you up. These are friends who have your back no matter what. You can go to for any reason. You can talk to them about whatever. They're going to help you no matter what. If your back is against the wall, they'll be the first ones there. If you're down, if you're hurting, they're going to be the first ones to make sure you're okay. When they're having a hard time, they're right by your side no matter what. That's what a real friend is. That's your family. That's your brothers and your sisters. So when you have your friends who you're now your family, right? Your friends are your brothers and your sisters. And then we go into a different category, which is your fans, right? And fans are family members of the people who are supportive of the relationship, supportive of the friends. Maybe they're people who introduce you guys. Maybe they're people who are relatives of the actual immediate brothers. So you know you have extended family, and most family, cousins and uncles and aunts. Well, in our life, in our world, they are considered fans, right? People who bring us together. And they very well may be part of your own individual F4L people. The things that I described, if they fit the mold of someone in your family, that's perfectly okay. Because as I mentioned, this, you know, kind of model crosses over all of it. But we look at people who bring each other together, who bring and support the friends, the brothers and the family as part of the fans. So when you have your friends and your fans who come together as one, you have a family as a whole. And ultimately, it's a friends for life, your fans for life, your family for life. For short, your F4L. It's the friend. The F stands for friends, fans, and family for life. That's ultimately where the F comes from in that. And for life is simply exactly what it sounds like. It's not something that it's not a once in a lifetime thing, because once you're a family, you're family, right? We go back to that model, if you would, blood is thicker than water and all that. Well, once you are F4L, once you are seen as that, you are treated as such, and you acknowledge the fact that you are part of the F4L brotherhood or sisterhood, whatever the case may be. Now, let me tell you about how we came up with this. So, myself at 16, along with the early, the other pioneers and the other real founders of what the F4L was, there was myself, who my F4L name, for those people who don't know, obviously it's in the name here, Sean Jazz Stevens, but in the F4L it's Jazz, J-A-Z-Z, for reasons that I've described before, because I'm not just someone who could write, I'm not just someone who can draw, I'm not just someone who could, do other things, I'm full of all that jazz. That was given to me by other people, and the F4L, my brothers and sisters, they already called me Jazz anyway, like half a dozen people anyway. So Jazz is my F4L name. So there was myself, there was Ace, who was my closest F4L brother. He was a couple years younger than me, and I looked at him as like a little brother. And that's actually kind of where it would really begin, is between the two of us, where we discovered by talking to each other, we had a very similar backstory. Because remember, in this environment, we had people came in from all over the place, different towns and whatever, and they came in and they would have a similar kind of a thing where their family didn't kind of quite get what they were. They misunderstood who they were as people, and they questioned them a lot, and really sad, really, in some ways. So Ace was kind of my first person who I really connected with on that, aspect. I was always very close with my friends in general, but Ace, we called each other brothers already. We were like, hey, little brother and whatever. And then, there would be Pooh Bear, who was our female friend who would, our sister who was just around with all of us. She supported us. She was always with us. And, whenever she had an issue, she could come to us. The same thing goes for us. She was very intelligent, very smart, very caring, loved to have fun, was the epitome of what a tomboy is. Because as sweet as she could be and as girly as she could be with the whole, her favorite color was pink and her nickname was Pooh Bear. So even though that was there, she was also one of the most ferocious basketball players and could play any sport better than half the guys and really, really could adapt with everyone and really was inclusive. D-Man was another one who was, now again, there's two people. There's D-Man and there's D-Rock. They're completely different, maybe the same name, spelt differently. Actually, they're not the same name. D-Man was a young man, and he was, at that time, he was, he was openly gay, and that was perfectly fine. We accept everyone, whoever they are. We didn't treat him any differently. We kind of accepted him. He accepted us. He could talk to us about whatever. We didn't judge him like everyone else did, because we respect his difference. And there was D-Rock, who was, another counterpoint. He was a lot of fun. He was kind of, very, very energetic. And he was really the counterpoint to, you know, a lot of, he was the spark plug, if you would, a lot of the times we needed it. He was always there when you needed him. You needed backup, he was right there. You didn't have to ask, he was already there. And that was kind of the five, you know, the five originals, right? And because we're in this environment where sometimes we would have to leave and go on our own separate ways, one of the things we agreed upon is no matter how far we go, we're always going to be connected. And when we made that connection, we're a family. We're the F4L. And we talk about what it is to be a family, all collectively, the five of us. And we knew that love was important, caring. We care about each other. We had compassion for each other. We respected each other's differences. Ace was a daredevil. He liked to do all kinds of stunts and things like that. When he was young, remember, going back to 1996, I was 16. So Adam would be Ace would be 2 years younger than me. So he would be, you know, whatever, 14 maybe. 15 years old. So he was very energetic, but he was also the daredevil of the group. And me at 16, I was going to be jumping off, doing no bike work off of picnic tables like he would. D-Rock was like the sports guy. He was huge into sports and music. We all love music, but D-Rock was really into that and brought that element to that, you know, that kind of a thing where D-Man was really kind of a relationship guy, very sensitive, but also very respectful of everyone, didn't kind of force himself on anyone, you know, just wanted to be accepted. And of course, we accepted him where we didn't, you know, judge him, we didn't make fun of him because that's his choice. And that's honestly whatever, it is what it is. And he was a great young man and he was a great friend. He was our brother. And Pooh Bear, again, she was sweet and, you know, direct and helpful. So that really we kind of put together what a family is, what was important for each of us. And that's ultimately where we came up with everything. There is actually a hand sign for the F4L. Very interesting hand sign. And I've done it a couple times in lives or whatever. And usually when I sign off, I usually do the F4L hand sign. And the reason why the hand sign is there is because there was a time when people didn't understand what the F4L was. And a lot of people around us would judge us and would make fun of us because, let's face it, it sounds very naive, which is what which was the general consensus of everyone around us, was this is a naive, you know, way to live. No one can have love, care, and compassion, understanding all the time. That's not something realistic, a lot of them thought. And we all disagreed. We were right there no matter what. And that's kind of, you know, we were there for each other, you know, through all the ups and downs each of us had in those lifetimes and so forth. We celebrated each other's birthdays. We celebrated each other's, own individual accomplishments. And even though we still had, sometimes we'd have our families, our blood in our lives, as we call it, because that's ultimately where we separate. You know, our blood is our family we're born into, but our F4L, that's really our family, our brothers and our sisters, and they're the people who ultimately are our family. We view these people as the people we consider to be our brothers and sisters, because we, you know, we acknowledge those things and we are part of that. And of course, you know, like I said, it is something that does take time to understand. It does take time to get to that point when, you know, you realize that ultimately these are things that are important qualities. And if more people live this way, the world would be a better place. Because ultimately when you respect each other's differences, that has so much depth, right? Because what that means for us in the F4L is we were, you know, because, for example, where D-Man was someone who was gay and was openly gay, and he liked men and boys at that point. Because remember, he was a young kid himself. Because he liked other guys, we didn't judge him. We respected his difference because I like girls. He likes guys, whatever. We respect the fact that he likes that, and that's okay. We respected the fact that Adam was a daredevil. We respected the fact that D-Rock would rock out to all kinds of music, various things. It was always wanting to play games, even when, you know, we may not have liked all of the music that he enjoyed, but he was passionate about it, so why not? Pooh Bear was sweet and gentle, but you could also, we respect the fact that she also, you know, liked to have that girl time and stuff like that. And we saw her as a sister. We looked out for her like a sister. We looked out for each other like brothers. Someone gave us a hard time, we'd go and give them, we'd break back, back up each other. And a lot of people have the miscommunication, the misunderstanding that the F4L means that we're weak. Since we believe in love, care, and compassion, and standard respect for justice, they believe us to be people who, well, we're easy targets then. Since we believe in those things, we clearly don't believe in standing up for each other or fighting or whatever the case may be. And ultimately, I'm going to tell you, that's absolutely not the truth. Because the fact of the matter is in the early days and even later in time, people would often challenge us as a family. That would challenge our how we chose to live. And it's not only living the F4L way, it's fighting for the right to live the F4L way and standing up for the F4L way. So there were times, many times, when we would never allow someone to gang up on one person. We would always be there to back each other up. We didn't ask people to show up. The F4L was right there. That's the difference between acquaintance and what the F4L is, your brothers. When you think of, how important your role is as a person, right, as a kind of an idea of, where you fit in your social circle. And I think it's important to realize where you are in your social circle. Who are you in your circle of friends? Are you the go-to guy for everything? Are you the ringleader? Are you the person who goes along with everything? Ultimately, I think a lot of people fall into all those categories. But what we do in the F4L is really everyone's their own selves, but we also back each other up no matter what. There's no second questions. Anytime, any place, anytime, anywhere you need us, we're there. And there's so many depths of levels to what the F4L is. And like I said, I mean, there's so many origins. And really, we had to kind of develop our own language, but how we believe things to be, songs that would speak to the F4L, that if we really needed something, if that song was played, even if the person couldn't verbalize they needed something, if they heard that song, they knew that was kind of code, I need help. Dionne Warwick's epic, iconic, Dionne Warwick and Friends, I should say, That's What Friends Are For, was one of those songs. Early days that would become the F4L anthem until I would later write the actual F4L anthem. Being someone who likes to write, of course, it was going to be only a matter of time till I actually wrote a song about what the F4L is. We wrote out the creed of what the F4L is, what it means to be F4L, and the motto, which I have already said many times. And the other part of it is once you fully acknowledge the fact that I am an F4L, there is actually a lingo. There is a thing you say. You only have to say it once. But it's once you say it, you are absolutely accept the fact that, yes, I am F4L. I am going to live the rest of my life as the F4L way, and I am part of the F4L family. And that quote is, I was born it. I breathe it, I'll live it, I'll die it, I'm damn proud to be it, F4L. That's the model. That's the motto. And when it, break that down, I was born it, that means that anything before your F4L time is null and void. That person is gone. The prior heart headaches, the prior heartbreaks are all over. Because once you are born F4L, that is your real first day as a person. That's you in your first born and first, since that's when you would technically be born into your own family, that's when you begin. So you were born it, you breathe it, which means every single day you have to breathe to live. You breathe it every single day when you're awake. So you were born it, you breathe it, you live it, meaning you live the F4L way. You live the life with love, care, and compassion, understand and respect for each other's differences. But also, you fight for those same things. If someone is in need of that, when it comes to bully busting, that's also part of that. When someone is weak and someone needs a pick-me-up, you act as the role model. You are there to help each other, and you support each other. And love, care, and compassion, and you live it, you are born it, you breathe it, you live it, you'll die it. Ultimately, when your time comes, from the moment you accept the fact that you're F4L and you take that creed, and once you say those words, from that point on, you're F4L until the day that you're no longer on, you know, in living space. And unfortunately, the other part of it is when you pass on, when your time on Earth, your physical space is there, we believe that your memory, we have an old model that heroes are remembered, but legends never die. It's from a quote. And what that means for us is that, you know, even if we lose one of our brothers and sisters over time, we keep their memories alive and they live in our hearts, our minds, our bodies, and our souls for the rest of our time. By keeping their memories alive and by talking about them on a regular basis, by honoring them, we harness that feeling, that connection to each other. No matter where we are in the world, we can adapt to that. We can tap into that. Because what a feeling it is to know that you belong, that you are connected by all of this, all of the amazing people around the world, your brothers and sisters everywhere, right? So you close your eyes in those darkest of times, because the idea is your family, your F4L are there for you no matter what. Whether they're alive or not, physically alive, I mean, or not, and no matter where they are in the world, take a moment to breathe in and reflect and channel ultimately all of that positive vibes, the love, the caring, and the compassion and the respect from all around the world, from all your other brothers and sisters in the F4L. It is a feeling you can't explain that ultimately I can tell you that I've used many times in my life. Even the darkest of times, the hardest of times, I tap into that, whether someone's there or not, and it's just a feeling to know that I'm not alone. So that's ultimately the early days, right? And, of course, from almost the get-go, we already had people who were challenged. What are you talking about? This F4L sounds hokey, and they called us all kinds of names, which I'm sure you can probably imagine multiple names that you would describe someone who, you know, boasted about the fact that love, care, and compassion, understanding, respect for justice, respect for each other's differences, living by example, fighting for each other, being living it, breathing it, warning it, whatever. And a lot of people would say that was hokey. So we were, you know, constantly people calling us on that end, calling us all kinds of names. It sounds too good to be true. It's just a lot of negative people who just can't accept the fact that, well, let's face it, we're people who fight for what we believe in, and we're not weak. In fact, I don't think there's anything stronger than love or caring. To show someone that you care, like truly care, and respect them and have compassion, if you break down what those individual things mean, you kind of have a kind of an idea of what how you should be, right? And that how life should go, ultimately. For the purposes of this, I think it's important for us to look at kind of what that means, what are each of those things mean. So let me break those things down to you, even though it sounds very things that most people would kind of understand. Okay, so let's break down what the creed, love, care, and compassion, understanding, and respect for each other's differences. So first, let's go with love. Love is a noun. There's multiple things to this. Love, an intense feeling of deep affection, intense feeling of deep affection, a great interest and pleasure in something. Or a verb, a feeling of deep affection for someone or something, or like or enjoy very much. That's a verb. That's the definition of love. And that's, I hope I have to tell you guys what love is. Okay, so now let's take caring. This is the definition of caring. Displaying kindness or concern for others. That's an adjective. Or a noun, a work or practice for looking after those unable to care for themselves, especially sick or elderly people. Caring. So now the definition of compassion. Compassion. Sympathetic is a noun. It means sympathetic, pity or concern for others' suffering or misfortunes of others. That's a definition of compassion. Understanding. The definition of understanding is a noun, the ability to understand something, comprehension, or an adjective. Sympathetically aware of others' feelings and tolerating and forgiveness or forgiving. Also, having insight or good judgment is also understanding. That's a different thing for that. And last but not least, the definition of respect in each other's differences. So, definition of respect. Noun. A feeling of deep admiration for someone or something afflicted by the abilities of qualities of achievement. That's one. Two, also noun, due regards for the feelings and wishes and rights or traditions of others. Or a verb, admire someone or something deeply as a result of the abilities, qualities, or achievements. Those are the definitions, and of course, I mean, I think everyone knows the idea of differences, but hold on, let me give you that too. Hold on. The definition of differences, ready? Or difference, to be clear. First, it's a noun, a point or way which people or things are not the same, or a verb, alter, or to distinguish members of branches of a family. Do you hear that one? Differences. That's the definition. So love, caring, compassion, understanding, respect for each other's differences. If you look at those meanings, those are very, very powerful statements. And those are things you live by every day. So these are things that myself at 16, along with other people, Pam was also my age, as was D. Pooh Bear was my age. D-Rock was a year younger. D-Man was the same age as myself and Pooh Bear. And Ace was the youngest member of the group, but he was also one of the most intelligent of the group also. He was a really awesome young man, and I'm honored to call him my brother. I'm honestly honored to all of them are my family. And let me tell you, when I tell you that they have made a difference then for me and each other, I'm going to tell you how. And I'm going to show you the difference between what it means to be F4L family and versus blood family and whatnot, because these things would cross paths multiple times. And when we talk about we were challenged, and when we talk about how others view us, it's a little differently. So let's take Ace and me, for example. As I mentioned, Ace and I were very close. We're all close as a general. But let's face it, there are some relatives, your brothers and sisters, who you're closer to than others, right? Well, in the F4L, even though I'm open to everybody and I'll listen to everyone, I'll help everybody, Ace and I had a different connection because we had a similar background. We understood each other very much so, and we could talk to each other about whatever, and we were there for each other. at my lowest points, he was able to pick me up, and his lowest points, I was there for him. So let's take you to one of his birthday parties. Ace had lost his father in an accident, tragically, just before meeting him, his biological father, and his mother had been dating another guy. And at a birthday party for him, I think he was turning 16. So it was also the year that we got scuba certified as well, because that was one of his lifelong ambitions early on, was to become scuba certified. He wanted to dive, and he wanted to be in the water. He loved that stuff. And again, he was the daredevil. And ultimately I also got scuba certified with him because, again, we had that connection. But we're at his 16th birthday party, and of course now I'm a couple years older, remember? And of course I'm there, D-Rock's there, Pam's there, his mom's there, and everyone else is there, like normal, his sister and her, you know, his stepfather, his whatever on that. His stepfather gave him a shotgun to go hunting with. That's right, you heard that right, a shotgun, so they could go hunting and so forth. Now, I know, to be fair, in our country, there is gun laws and so forth. I know it's people's rights to carry a gun if they're responsible or whatever. And I know that there are people out there, and though this is going to be a controversial one right here, but I'm going to tell you my point of view. And actually, this is exactly one of the bonds between a brother and, you know, brothers and stuff in that aspect. Ace, even though he was a daredevil, he loved animals and stuff like that. But he did love woodsy stuff. He loved outdoors. He loved that kind of adventure kind of lifestyle. But as I talked about before, when I was 13, one of my early friends, one of the people who, honestly, if he was alive, probably would have been F4L as well. We were very close like that. We had that kind of a bond. And unfortunately, due to gun violence, he was shot in front of me and died in my arms. And because of that, I am not fond of guns. In fact, I do not like guns of any kind. I'm trained in martial arts, and I believe if you can't take care of yourself, there's an issue there. But in general, I'm not overly fond of guns. I get very skeevy about them. I do not like them in any way, shape, or form. I've never seen them be good for anybody. But anyway, I progress. I had to tell you that story to get to his birthday party. So at his birthday party, where his stepfather just gave him a shotgun as a gift, so they could go, you know, bond as stepfather and son, I suppose. He gave him a shotgun. It was like a 12 gauge or whatever to go, hunting or whatever. And a lot of people who are 16 years old would probably look at that and be all excited about getting a shotgun. It was a real gun, folks. It was not a fake one. And again, it was in the purpose to go hunting. It was very expensive. I can tell you that too, because he had no problems telling him how much it was worth. So at the party, he opens all the gifts and stuff, and I'm out of there as well. And remember I said how I respect each other's differences. And to be fair, if Ace had chosen to go hunting, I'm not going to prevent him from doing something just because it's something I don't feel comfortable with. Just because I don't like guns doesn't mean that he or anybody else can't enjoy their own things as long as they're responsible with it or not. But when Ace opened up the hunting rifle, I should say, whatever it was called, he opened it up and looked at me, and he looked at his mom, and looked at the guy, the stepfather, and then he looked at me, looked at his mom, looked at the stepfather, looked at the gun. And then this went on for a few minutes, and when the stepfather gave it to him, his words were, "Make sure you're responsible with this. This is to teach you responsibility. Make sure you're responsible," is his words. And then Ace, what he said, it was priceless, because I'll never forget it. Everyone knows my feelings about guns and so forth, especially him, because closest, like I said. And He said, so let me get this straight after doing the whole rounds of staring at everyone. I can do whatever I want with this rifle as long as I'm responsible. And, you know, his mother nodded, and then the guys and the stepfather, you know, said, absolutely, you got to be responsible with this. But, yeah, that's your gun. That's your responsibility now. So Ace, without missing a beat, took the rifle, walked over to the trash barrel and threw it in the trash and said, nope, this is the most responsible thing I can do. His stepfather flipped out, of course, and that's why they were all upset about the fact that, you know, that's how we come to find out it was a very expensive. But Ace, because of that bond, because he knows how I felt about it, and because he knows the origin of what happened, even though he's a woodsy person, he's an outdoor person, and ultimately, if he was to give him a fishing rod, he would have been right there. But this particular thing, he just went over and wanted no part of it. So moral of the story is he threw the gun away and refused to use it, and his mother's boyfriend had to return that to get something else because that wasn't going to happen. In fact, I think what ended up happening was he returned the rifle and then never gave him anything after that because he thought he was ungrateful. Go figure. But ultimately, that's the story there, and it was something that would stand out as a defining moment of what a family does. And when you think of his age, he was a couple of years, you know, 16 years old, and he made that conscious decision. That's a cool thing. And then we got scuba certified not long after that. And we had a, you know, I'll tell you, he and I would, you know, whenever going forward, as I mentioned, he was the daredevil. So when he had his license before me, you know, we'd go driving and we'd go on these various adventures that we'd have, as we called them. One point, you know, we saw a sign saying that they were having bungee jumping at this particular time. And we looked at each other and go, bungee jumping? It was random. It was like, you know, a sign that said we're letting people go bungee jumping today for X amount of things. And now, since we were down that way going to the reptile place, I think it was, because he was huge into reptiles and animals in general. So we went down there. And while at the going on there, we saw this bungee jump thing. We ended up going bungee jumping on the whim just because he goes, hey, you know, they're doing bungee jumping. Want to go bungee jumping? I said, you want to go bungee jumping right now? And we checked it out, and there was really no reasons we couldn't. We had time, and there was no line. I mean, going bungee jumping. So we ended up going bungee jumping the first time out of whim. And then we went again a couple other times. That was, you know, a planned thing, obviously, after that. And we also, because we were both scuba certified, one of the other things we did is we went shark diving a few times. Because, we were both into the marine life and the animals in general, so why not go shark diving and kind of break that mold? Either Jaws is going to eat us or we're going to go pet him like a dog. And to be fair, we'd never pet him like a dog, for the record. We did swim with sharks multiple times, and we had never had an issue, for the record. And actually, this past summer, I actually went shark diving again. First time in forever, and it was an amazing feeling that I highly recommend to anyone who's never done it. And it also kind of breaks that kind of stereotype of what sharks are, and maybe you'll see them in a different light after the fact. It's something I've very much been a component for a long time. So there is that. So then we get into you know, other aspects. So another example of this kind of brotherhood in where we would come in, where, you know, the blood thing and the F4L thing would come into play, right? I want to point out, I agree, I understand as a parent myself, but I also, being in the F4L, I also understand this as well. So Ace, a long time later after this, Ace being the daredevil he was, he had a motorcycle. And I was in a bowling league, Candlepin Bowling League, and I was in this for years. And again, respect each other's differences. Adam, Ace liked to do, like to ride motorcycles. I like to bowl. He could do both, but, you know, he did bowl when he wanted to. But, you know, I was in a bowling league. So there was a night when I was in the bowling league, and I got a call from the hospital. A hospital, because Ace had been involved in a motorcycle accident. And the hospital notified me. in the middle of the bowling. I think we were in like the second string, middle of the second string. So the difference between me and everyone else in the world is when it comes to my family, much like anyone else, I think anyone else would have done the same thing. The hospital called, said your brother was involved in a motorcycle accident, which is exactly what they said to me. And I got ready. I got my bowling stuff. I made my way over there and off I went to the bowling alley. I mean, to the hospital to be there for my brother who was in the hospital. And I was there with him until, you know, he woke up. I was there when he woke up. I was there until when his mom got there. His mom was notified after the fact. And she was not happy at the fact that, you know, they notified me first because I was there at the hospital before she was, because it was when I got there, I told them they should probably let his mother know as well. And that's when she came up there and she was very upset with the doctor that, you know, they had called me instead of hit her. And the doctor, let her know that, listen, it's on his chart to call him first. He's his emergency contact. I want you to take that into account as well. And that's how close the bond is. And that's what it was. That's how a family is. And that happened multiple times. It wasn't me. You know, I didn't finish the league. I didn't finish the bowling thing. I got the call. Luckily, I wasn't up in the middle of bowling a frame. But don't think that for one second I want to put the ball down and walk out, because that's exactly what I did. And the people in the league with me were not happy. The people on my team were not happy that I had to leave to take care of my friend. But guess what? He's not my friend. He's my brother. And if it was their brother or their sister, they would have done the exact same thing, or they should have. And I left right after I got the call. I didn't finish the night. I guess I took my average the rest of the string, whatever, but my family means more. So that's kind of where I went, and that's why they called me. And, you know, being a lot of people wonder, how did you become the leader of this, you know, lifestyle of the F4L, right? Since there's five of us, really, there is no leaders, technically, if I'm being honest. There were no original leaders of the F4L. Because if you were to take each one of us, we would all talk about what the F4L is, just as passionate as I did. Because that's what we are. And if you're wondering, you know, where is everybody now? Unfortunately, a lot of them had some, what's tragic, almost Shakespearean, is I'm the last of the originals. And that's a very heart. I had, you know, Ace, unfortunately, was involved in a car accident. Unfortunately, he didn't make that. Before that, I don't know if you guys remember the whole Virginia Tech thing. Pooh Bear was going to school in Virginia Tech, and we got the call, and we knew what was going on. And, you know, everyone knows kind of, if you remember the whole Virginia Tech attack, well, unfortunately, Pam was in the computer lab during that, and she was one of the victims, unfortunately. Didn't know Pooh Bear was, and we went down there. Well, actually, there was no keeping us from there. We, we saw what was going on, and without even finding out the actual answer, we went down there regardless of the results. We knew the school that she was at, and we knew that there was that happened, and we were going down there one way or the other to make sure she was okay. Unfortunately, it was upon we got there that we know that we lost Pooh Bear. She was one of the victims, unfortunately. And again, full of life, an amazing person. And lost to for nothing for some to someone she didn't even know, and that's kind of how that works. D-Man unfortunately would contract a disease that would ultimately take him, and D-Rock, just the pressure of losing everyone I think got to him, unfortunately. So they all live within me now. So now I'm the voice of everyone, and I keep the F4L alive within me. But it's not just in me. In all fairness, it's not just in me, because thanks to social media and things of that nature, And oddly enough, a thing called MySpace. Do you remember MySpace? So let me tell you the story. So when MySpace was a thing, so for those people who don't know what MySpace is, I'm going to be the first to admit to you guys, I am not one of those people who are technically savvy. When it comes to social media or whatever the hot thing is, I am last to the party, so to speak. YouTube I found by accident because when I was wrestling, they said, let's put your promos on YouTube. And my response was, what is YouTube? And that's kind of my introduction to YouTube. And as a YouTube sensation, I didn't even know what that meant, but I guess that's what I was. So Jazz, you know, the YouTube sensation, Jazz Fitness, that was my introduction to YouTube ultimately. And that's kind of, you know, I haven't left there really. I'm still there and all over the place there. A lot of the older videos from the Jazz Fitness days are off because, as I mentioned, as I spoke about the last show, the person who was in charge of filming all those had all of those on the camera and deleted that because, you know, and they were very, very popular. They were probably the biggest thing that got a lot of likes and they had the most views. It was a different, I mean, Jazz Fitness was a phenomenon. He still is one of the most beloved characters somehow that is out there. But that being said, MySpace was a thing. So I was, you know, really in the middle of my wrestling career. And, you know, I was getting back into wrestling, I should say, because I've been wrestling since, you know, 1998. I went to wrestling school for the first time. I completed my training in 99, and I was pretty much signed right after that. And I worked until I was injured in 2003. And then I was off because of injury, and I wasn't allowed to go back to train or anything. And of course, I've told that story before. I came back as Jazz Fitness, and here I go. So when I came back as Jazz Fitness, YouTube was really blowing up. And that's when that was my introduction there. And MySpace kind of counterpointed that. And I would meet other people from YouTube who were in other avenues and fans. And it was a chance for me to interact with fans as well, because I have always been respectful of my fans. And anyone who knows me in my social media or whatnot, everyone pretty much knows that if you send me a message, I'll always respond. It's never a fail. It might take me a little while if I miss it, but I always get back to people. And I remember getting back then it was a friend request from a music guy, a music young man from Wales. His name was Sean. We call him Crip Boy because that's his name. And Crip Boy was from Wales. He was a music producer and a digital creator, which what an amazing, talented young man he was. He actually did all these random Jazz Vengeance at that time things back then. In talking with him, because I talked to everyone the same way, we talked about the F4L, and because he asked about the tattoo, and I mentioned the F4L, and it's still a thing that I always say, even if people don't know what it is per se, I still use the F4L thing. I call people F4L, and we had a talk about the F4L. I told him the origin, why it started, what it means to be. Turns out that him in Wales, you know, kind of agreed with a lot of that. He liked that idea and he embraced it. And not only that, he took the oath of the F4L in Wales. I lived in the United States. And another person from Australia, he was an early music singer from YouTube. His name was Jordan Jensen. He's still a good friend. All of these guys are still my brothers. And that was in Australia. And again, in South Africa, there was a friend of ours named Troy Savon. Maybe you've heard of him. He went on to he's still, I think, relevant in the music industry. I think Jordan took some time off. We were the early YouTubers, right? And we were also F4L because they embraced it. They took the oath and they lived the F4L way. Crip Boy's brother would embrace the F4L lifestyle. And then our friends in Ireland would. And it kind of grew like that. There was more people, and we had a brother in Canada who also embraced the F4L lifestyle. And then Facebook would come out, right? Facebook started. And, of course, I was late to the party on Facebook. Everyone said, oh, go to Facebook. It's wonderful. It's where everyone is now. And I went to Facebook. And then I would start what's called Talking Tuesday, where I would reach out to fans and people I wouldn't talk to on a regular basis. Because my feeling is, at least on Facebook, if I really didn't care about you or I didn't want to talk to you or interact with you, I wouldn't have either added you or requested to talk to you. And a lot of the people back in the day, I used Facebook the way it was supposed to be, to reconnect with those old, you know, relationships that you once had. And ultimately, that's when I learned that a lot of people in elementary school were blown away of how far I've come. A lot of people couldn't believe the success I've had, considering this is the kid who went to great lengths to make everyone laugh back in, you know, first and second grade. So in that avenue, I was very, very thankful for the early days of social media, because guess what happened? Because of spreading the word about what the F4L is, the F4L was embraced, and Crip Boy would, you know, take that model and would start a Facebook page, and which, again, he was talented like that, and people around the world embraced this back then, and they still live the F4L way. Now, people who have never seen my tattoo, which I do have, and it's there on my arm, which most people can see, you know, when I have no sleeve on usually, or I roll it up. And this is a music show. This is a podcast, so obviously you can't see what it looks like right now. But I think anyone who's ever seen an emblem of the F4L, because we do have an emblem, and there's an origin behind the emblem, right? A lot of people look at the emblem and they see a peace sign with wings, right? Well, let me explain the emblem of the F4L. Okay. So, again, this is the emblem of the F4L is basically your signature. And if you didn't sign it as an F4L, then, you know, you are F4L, so you have every right to sign it as your F4L counterpart. So the way the F4L emblem goes is on the surface you have the peace sign, right? And I think everyone knows kind of what peace is. That's kind of where the love, care, and compassion, understanding, respect for justice, respect for each other's differences lies within that peace sign, right? And then you have the wings that are actually, if you look at it, the wings are actually part of the V. And the peace sign came from D-Man because he believed that that is something that is universal and is something everyone can get behind. The V, if you guys remember me telling you what my nickname was in high school and the fact that we support each other, it was Jazz Vengeance, right? Well, the V, which goes through the peace sign, is where the vengeance comes from. But it's not vengeful in the sense that you know, we're looking for, you know, mean or spirited. It means that the vengeance means that we support, we fight for each other. We are going to make sure that if you mess with one of our friends or one of our F4L brothers or sisters, you're going to have to deal with the rest of us. It's a sense of unity. It's a sense of protection. It's a sense of you mess with one of us, you mess with all of us. All for one, one for all, united we stand, divided we fall kind of a thing. So that's where the V comes from in the middle of the peace sign. Because if you look at it, it looks like wings, which, by the way, the wings come from the Pooh Bear. That was her addition. And with Pooh Bear, with the wings, it means it flies everywhere. It's something that can that doesn't stay in one place. Because with flight, it doesn't have to be anywhere. It's about believing in the power of your own dreams and being able to take flight and being able to go everywhere. Being able to not stay in one place, right? And what also means is whenever you need your F4Ls, ultimately the wings bring you to them. That's what kind of unifies you and brings you all together. No matter where they go, those wings will bring you guys together. That's where the wings come from. And then, of course, aces little thing was the wording of everything. So Ace said, why don't we have our F4L names on the top, which is where it goes. Your F4L name is whatever your name is in the F4L. That's your name that you're called by your other F4L. Me, for example, in between the two V tops or the wings, as people see it as, is Jazz, right? And then what you have is your name in the middle of the peace sign, because you're all about all points of what the F4L is, right? So you are at the top of the F4L, the middle of everything, and then you have your actual name split in half. So me, for example, it's S-E and then A-N for Sean, for those people who ever wondered. And then it goes my middle initial in one of the in the bottom left of the peace sign, and then the other goes my last initial, which is my last name. And of course, right underneath the bottom of the V is the F4L, and it's written as F connected to the 4, and then the L comes off of the 4 as part of the lingo, and that kind of signifies everything. And that was his contributions. So that actually was suggested by D-Rock. So everyone had a point in this. D-Man, D-Rock, Ace, Paint, Pooh Bear, and myself, we came up with the F4L because that's the emblem. And so now whenever I sign something, usually it'll be my signature and then the JV, and then you'll see the little piece. They'll see the F4L emblem. And ultimately, if you are someone who has been dubbed F4L, there's no reason you shouldn't do the same, because you're seen as the same. And it's something that is a sense of honor and respect, and that you're seen as a brother or sister in this community, within the lifestyle of the F4L. It means that you are seen as someone who believes in the same qualities, that you are your own person, that you fight for the same things we believe in. And ultimately, if you look at all of the people around the world who celebrate this lifestyle, who I've recognized this year alone, I have recognized people with actual certificates, embracing them and, you know, officially making it official that you are a brother or sister within the F4L. You have the qualities. You are our brother or our sister. And by giving that, it's kind of like an adoption certificate in a way, because now you're part of our family. And if you're getting one of those, family has the same qualities, and guess what? They're also extensions of that under the fans life model thing, or your own individual fan, F4L. And now here's the thing that's awesome about the F4L, why it's so big. My F4L, the people who I, you know, I embrace as my F4L, they have their own set of F4L. And then their F4L has their F4L. And you see, that's why we're the world's largest family. And that's why it's so impressive and why it's so awesome. Today, at the time of this recording, I can actually vouch and I can tell you that the F4L is practiced all over North America in the United States. All avenue, almost pretty much anywhere in the United States, there's F4Ls there. There's people in Canada, there's people in South America, there's people in pretty much all over Europe, various countries in Europe. Again, Australia, South Africa, Ireland, United Kingdom, all over the United Kingdom, Wales, England, Scotland, Russia, Ukraine, Germany, Italy. You know, there's F4L brothers and sisters everywhere around the world. People who embrace this, people who recognize this, and people who ultimately, you know, live this way and probably don't even know that they're F4L. I'm probably going to make some people blush real quick, because I think it's important to kind of give you an example of some people who I believe to be F4L and who live the F4L way. And by the way, these are people who have already been acknowledged as F4L officially. So these people are people who I believe to be FOL, and I hope that they know that that is an important thing, and that I hope that they maybe will give the oath, because in the old ways is you actually had to do the oath in order to understand that this is how you're going to be conceived. To acknowledge that is to fully embrace the FOL lifestyle and to become the FOL Brotherhood. Goes along with the, because the old ways is you would, you know, take the oath and then you'd be welcomed. But now, you know, obviously I don't expect everyone to give the creed or the oath, which is, again, I was born it, I breathe it, I live it, I'll die it, I'm damn proud to be it, F4L. Plain and simple. The people who I have acknowledged this year alone as F4L brothers and sisters, and by the way, some of which I'm still waiting to send them their official documents, but this year I have recognized Philip Ricardo Jr. because he is exactly what an F4L is. He lives the F4L way, whether he knows it or not. He's a very humble man. He's a very spiritual man. He's also F4L, and I'm proud to call him my F4L brother. His counterpart, JoJo the Bodybuilder, is also F4L. Jaden Brooks, who's been on this show, is F4L. I am waiting to give him his official documentation for that. Noah the Nightmare Tindall, he might be one of the toughest kids in the United Kingdom, but he's also a recognized brother of the F4L because he has all the qualities that it is to be F4L. And he's been, you know, dubbed that. Our friends Jack and Tim, the lucky ones, have been acknowledged and have also been sent their documentation. They are F4L brothers of us. And as you can see, everyone comes from different walks of life. Everyone's different. And what's amazing is that I believe that if all of these people were to get together, I believe they would respect each other and everyone would have the same kind of thing, because these are also people who accomplish great things in their life. Because they put the work in for it, they have dedication for it, they have a passion for whatever it is. That's why they live those ways. Also, who acknowledged is Walker Campbell. You know, awesome young man, very much himself. He should always be proud of himself. When, you know, he said that, you know, he's not just a singer, he's not just an actor, he's not just whatever. Of course he's not. He's F4L brother. He's all of those things, which makes him awesome. And we respect him and love him just like any other one of our brothers. And I love all these people. These are my family. I know that sounds weird or cliche, but that's how we view each other. That's how I view everyone in the F4L. And who else got acknowledged? Former guest, Jack Taylor, JoJo the Bodybuilder, JoJo Sebastian got acknowledged also this year. Sorry, I kind of spaced out for a second there. JoJo Sebastian, the former model, he is F4L. He was acknowledged this year. Excuse me as I get some water. The prodigy Jackson R. Scott, I'm going to be sending him his once I figure out that. Leo the Bull Curtis is F4L, and I would, you know, I'm going to be sending him his. But also, we have a new F4L member, as I mentioned the other day, and there are two people who very much are the exact what the F4L is. And these are two people who I believe have been living the F4L way the whole way and didn't even know what it was. I don't know if they have actual brothers or sisters, and by blood or anything else, but I can tell you that in our eyes, they are very much F4L brothers of ours, and they are no longer, you know, they are no longer only children, because they are now brothers. They have many brothers and sisters around the world as they are recognized as F4L. And those two people, hopefully they're listening. If they're not, please make sure they do. One is, of course, Lucas Royalty. the young man who's been acting and modeling and so forth. I've talked about him on this show before. He recently did an article about how he's trying to stomp out bullying, which is something we all agree upon. That should be nothing that bullying goes against what the F4L is. And, of course, anyone who goes against bullying is also a fan, at least, of the F4L. And Lucas actually demonstrates on a regular basis that he is F4L. He's constantly trying to bring awareness for various different charities. He's thinking more about other people. He has love. He has caring. He has compassion. He understands people. He is respectful of each other's differences. Lucas Royalty is the epitome of what an F4L is. And the other part of that, and he's over there on the West Coast, right? Across the pond from me, Riley Simmons, the gymnast, he is absolutely of what the F4L is. He is the epitome of what an F4L brother is. He is the beacon of what it is. It should be. As I mentioned before, the F4L is global. It is recognized everywhere. It is, you know, the family stretches. And these are people who I would, you know, give anything for. I would help them in any way I can. I have their back. If they ever need to talk to someone, I'm always there as a brother. And that's what I do, because that's what we are as a family. Riley Simmons is that person who is always, you know, trying to help other people, trying to, you know, stomp out bullying, trying to bring inspiration to others. He's a gymnast. He's phenomenal at it. He's a very dedicated young man. Like everyone else I just mentioned, these are all people who are successful in their own rights. And one of the things I can also say is sometimes the best people you can be friendly with, some of your closest friends are those who are successful. Hang around with those who are successful and you yourself will succeed. Hang around with those who kind of mess around and don't have any kind of direction. And unfortunately, you're also not going to have that direction and you're going to probably have a harder time in life. And ultimately, anyone, which is interesting about that is because I have seen this example in many people. But congratulations to everyone who I view as F4L. Of course, my wife and my kids are also F4L. They live the F4L way. I know that sounds weird. Like, well, they were, you know, your kids, of course, they're going to live it. It's not just about the fact that they live the F4L way. They demonstrate it and they talk about it and they embrace it. My daughter, you know, is very much someone who is the epitome of her F4L. Her friends are her family, just like my wife and my son are. So, you know, my son's the same thing. He's very close with his, you know, very tight-knit group. But we are all F4L. The kids took that oath, and they took the oath. Our kids did. My wife, obviously, lives the F4L way. And, you know, of course, you know, we are always – people who get challenged by things. People like to, you know, give us a hard time, give me a hard time, whatever. And people have a hard time understanding what it is to be nice, genuinely kind, to live in the way as I live. And some people see it to be, you know, too good to be true. I don't think that's the case. I don't think it is too good to be true. I think ultimately, if more people lived this way, we would have a better world. Imagine, you know, if everyone lived the F4L way, right, with the things I just mentioned, there wouldn't be a war anywhere because you would respect each other's differences. Conflicts could be resolved by communication because that's another thing that we agree upon. And I want to define what talking is or communication is versus just, you know, just jibber jabber or chat, right? When I talk about being able to talk to someone, your F4L, being able to communicate, being able to listen, what I mean by that is being able to talk about whatever and never have to be afraid of what you're talking about or having to be worried about being judged. Being able to be free to speak your mind and not be judged for it. is that then being able to learn to listen to the other person's point of view, being objective when you are listening to someone else's conflict and using all of the things, love, caring, compassion, understanding. And even at the end of the conversation, even if you don't necessarily agree with what that person's viewpoint is, you respect their difference because that's something they choose to do. I don't use drink. I don't drink. I don't drug. I don't smoke. But I know plenty of people who are F4L who do consume those types of things. That's their choice. I respect them for that. That's what they choose to do. That's what they choose to do. But that's that difference there, right? But they also know any time of the day or night, if they need to talk to somebody, and I'm not talking like, hey, how are you? I'm talking about, listen, I have something bothering me. I need someone to talk to. Pouring your soul out to someone you care about, that you have to, no one can fight the battle of the world alone. And what the F4L book agrees upon is that we always are there for each other. We are a foundation for each other. We're each other's shoulders to cry on. We're each other's, you know, tissues when needed. And when I talk to you about, you know, the differences that they have made in each other's lives, you know, Pooh Bear was D-Rock's godmother for one of his kids. And just that the fact that when Pooh Bear, you know, we heard what happened down in Virginia Tech, we all were in a car driving down to Virginia Tech, to Virginia, to make sure she was okay. That's that commitment. That's that family lifestyle. That's kind of what we are about. That's what we do. And again, when Ace had the accident in the hospital, called me because they said your brother's in a car in a motorcycle accident. The reason why I was emergency contact is because he knew that I would be there no matter what. And he was down and I was there. I don't talk a lot about my health scares and my health things in the past a lot, but I am a cancer survivor. Guess what? My friends were, my F4L were there when I had that. And also, if it wasn't for them, I probably wouldn't be here now, because I honestly believe that it was the power of them that helped bring me to where I am today, because I knew that my F4L needed me. And I fought, and my F4L family were there with me every step of the way. They supported me. I didn't even talk to my own blood about the issues I was having health-wise. I didn't tell them I was sick. I didn't tell them I was having those issues, because ultimately they have made it clear that they were not worthy to have that kind of thing. But my F4L, I couldn't keep them away from the hospital. I myself am someone who doesn't like to worry people, and I often will be there to help everyone else in the world. I would much rather listen to someone else's issue to talk about my own. That's just who I am. But that's ultimately why a lot of them come to me with conflict. They come to me with suggestions, because we go back to that question, why are you considered to be the leader? Well, I think, as I mentioned before, there's really no clear-cut leader. That was never something meant to be. But I think what ultimately the thing that was the consensus was, I was someone who each of the other people could go to with whatever they needed, and I listen to them. I communicate with them, and I'll tell them my point of view. And then ultimately, it will be up to them, and I'll support whatever it is that they decide. But ultimately, it's that sense of being able to talk to me and not be able to worry about, is he going to get upset with me? Is he going to be ungrateful? Is he going to be upset, angry, sad, disappointed? And ultimately what they find is a sense of relaxation, a sense of belonging, and a sense of respect, and a sense of clarity, and a sense of just, we feel good. So there's that. Because other little fun F4L facts and trivia is I think it's also apparent. I think anybody who's ever seen anything I post, and even our YouTube show is all over the place, but, fours in our life are lucky numbers. And it's not because there's four people in the F4L. It's because it's the really the centerpiece of what brings everyone together. The friends, fans, family for life. The four is the counterpoint, and the four is the luckiest number. So fours of any kind are always a lucky number. 44 is double lucky. Triple four is triple lucky. I know that might be a very might call that a superstition, so to speak, but it's also something that I have seen to be helpful. So fours are a lucky number in the F4L, which is why it's always there. And counterpoint, I mean, our show on YouTube is usually on the 4th, the 14th, and the 24th of the month. That is the reason why that is. So there's that. And also, I have to be honest, if ever I see a four, usually that something good usually happens. I know that's more of a coincidence kind of a thing. I get that, but it's just as always, I take comfort when I see a four. I think it's going to be okay. The birth date of the F4L, I mean, it's not rocket science. I think everyone kind of knows, but I think the foundation started, you know, really it was kind of concrete and evident and finalized as a family in April 4th, 1996. Again, four, lucky, get it? So April 4th, 1996 is the actual birth date of the F4L, when it started. Even though, you know, some people might say it even started before that because the foundation was really being planned and the creed was being written and the history and everything was kind of getting planned for that anyway. So you might say the wheels started moving prior to that and it's just finalized officially when it was actually a thing was April 4th, 1996. And to this day, we are now January 26th, 2023. It was started with five teenagers who just wanted to belong, wanted to be understood, wanted respect, and wanted to be accepted for who they were. It grew to a global phenomenon that is practiced around the world with thousands and hundreds of people around the world today, thanks to social media and whatnot. So I think that is a counterpoint. Now, for the easy question, then I am going to end a little early just because I think it's important to keep things to where it needs to be. But the origin of the F-World headquarters, before we go, see, it was always something we always dreamed about, the five of us, that we were going to get a house together. And the idea would be that we would bring all of us, we would always be welcome in our house no matter what. And we would call that the F4L headquarters, because if the F4Ls were living there, it had to be our headquarters. It would be our happy space where we could always be accepted. And then people who are also F4L would be welcome at our house at any point. And they would have, you know, all kinds of things. Like, I think at one point my dream house was, our dream house was the Winchester Manor, believe it or not. Now, I know a lot of people might hear that, and if you don't know, the Winchester Manor is supposedly a haunted house, but it's also a house that has many, many rooms, right? But I viewed that as many rooms for all of my F4Ls around the place to come visit. So they always had a place to feel like themselves, to feel comfortable. They didn't have to make themselves to be anyone better than whoever else was. They were always going to be accepted, loved, cared, respected. You could always do whatever. That's kind of why it's the F4L headquarters. So wherever we live, that's the F4L headquarters. And ultimately, this podcast, I want it to feel welcoming. I want it to feel like a place where people can be okay to be themselves. And ultimately, the people I've had on the show, guess what? They're F4L because they've been on this show and recognized as such. So that's kind of where it all comes to be. The F4L emblem, as I mentioned, is almost everywhere. Everywhere you see it is pretty much where it is. It does appear to be a peace sign with wings. But now you kind of know the origin of where that peace sign is and what it actually means. It's counterpoints of every aspect of the people who originated. Five people created the F-World emblem for various different reasons, and I still sign with the F-World emblem for everything. And people who get recognized with the F4L signature thing will actually get their little thing within it, hopefully. So there's that. So that being said, everyone, I'm going to cut this a little early. And before I go, I want to take my creed yet again, because I am never ashamed of being F4L and proud. So here, let me do it like this. I was born it. I breathe it. I'll live it, I will die it, I'm damn proud to be it, F4L. Because I will always fight for love, care, and compassion, understanding, and respect for each other's differences. Again, I was born it, I breathe it, I live it, I will die it, I'm damn proud to be it, F4L. With love, caring, compassion, understanding, and respect for each other's differences, for the rest of our time. That is the deal there. That is what the F-World is. And everyone, I am your F-World icon and the last of the survivors, but I am not the only one. And with the amazing F-World I just mentioned and the many around the world I haven't, the F-World still lives and breathes, and I am very proud of that moment, and I love you guys all. So, without any further ado, I wish you guys well in whatever you guys do. Have a great weekend, and may all your dreams come true. And again, happy birthday to our newest F4L member, Lucas Royalty, and safe travels, my friend. I hope you have a great time. You earned it. And I love all you guys. Peace, love, and may all your dreams come true. From the F4L headquarters and your icon, Sean Jazz Stevens. Peace, everyone.